its scent can't be tracked anymore by the predator. And it's beautiful. It's a lovely story of us when we become Christians and we just come into his presence, knowing we're protected, knowing we're cared for, knowing we're loved, knowing we're satisfied by provision. And that's the deer which longs for that water. And this morning, Father, we just long for you. Father, I thank you for the opportunity this morning to share your word. I thank you that what you've placed on my heart, agree with Tom and his prayer, Father, that you just work through me. And just, I pray that this is not just something that's head to head, but it's heart to heart and received. And the seeds will bear fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, firstly, I really enjoyed last week's service with Nick. That kind of stirred me up at the start of the week, and as I was preparing for this, I couldn't get away from that structure that he put forward and work out through to pour out, and it was really good. And that kind of everything stemmed from that, really. This morning, I just wanted to start with a couple of scriptures just to set our foundation as a reminder. In Romans 8:38, Paul says, "I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love." I'm convinced. What does it take for us to be convinced that nothing this morning can separate you from the love of God? Because that's where Paul got to. Nothing. I am convinced. And I'm convinced that I need to be convinced each day. I'm convinced that actually I need to remind myself each morning of that. And I just say, Father, thank you that this morning that nothing can separate me from your love. What a platform. If my sons went to school in the knowledge that whatever they did that day, they couldn't be separated from their father's love. Isn't that a starting point for empowerment to succeed and an empowerment to actually fulfill their destinies? And this is father love in this world, which is, you know, in its own right, it's limited. This is an unconditional love that Father God has for us this morning. And then going into Joshua, just to follow that through, Joshua 1:5. I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. I could close there and we could go home, couldn't we? There's two scriptures to work our weeks upon. In this world that we're in right now, with all the chaos that is around us, and in prayer this week, I felt that the chaos that we see is nothing compared to what we will see. And that is not something to stir up fear. That's something to stir up remembrance of these two scriptures, that Father God says that he will never leave you, he will never forsake you, and an opportunity where this world will shake. Without a shadow of a doubt, this world will shake. The people that have that solid and firm foundation will have those radiant faces of a Stephen. There will be somebody that neighbours turn to. There'll be somebody that friends say, what's different? And it's our time to shine. We are not here for this time just to survive and to get through these days. We are here to thrive. We are here to shine. And it's not in our own strength. It's not in our own ability. And I want to look at Luke 10, which is what Tom read earlier on. Luke 10 and the story of Mary and Martha. And just take a slightly different slant on this. As Jesus and the disciples continue on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. I'm sure you're now thinking, what on earth has this got to do with the times and the point in which we're at? Well, I wanted to zoom in a little bit on this, just to some degree, and I wanted to kind of put into context Mary's process here, because we've got a challenge, and a lot of it is a cultural challenge here in the Bible, where actually Jesus came into the house. It's probably the most important visitor that they were ever going to have in the house. Probably hungry, probably thirsty, and the natural thing in the house was for them to go and prepare, to go and set the table, to go and get the bread on, to start the mixing, whatever it might be, you know, press the oils. And naturally speaking, everybody would agree that would be the right thing to do. And actually, Mary's decision to do the complete and utter opposite was a challenge for her in her own right. For her to go against that cultural way and the process of doing things made a number of decisions that she had to make, which was looking to Jesus at a time where actually the natural thing was to get out there and do some work. And I just ask, you know, what would have Mary have had to go through in her own mind? Yeah, we're in a position in life where we're faced with times where we have to do certain works. There's things that we have to do. They need doing. Whether it's nappy changing, whether it's taking kids to school, whether it's picking up loved ones, whatever the process is, the things that we have to do in life. And by no means am I saying suddenly let's stop. And that's not what Jesus was saying here. But what Jesus did say, once Martha had, you know, was struggling in the kitchen, she was stressed. We can picture it, can't we? Christmas dinner, certainly in my household. You know, Gemma's floating around with the kids, and there's me. I've got two ovens on the go, and you know, yeah, it is me, does it? But the reality is that it can be a stressful time, and someone adds something into the equation, something starts burning, not going on, and you see someone else sitting there or not doing something, you know, that's what Martha got to. It was stressing her out. She wasn't doing what she should be doing. So she didn't go up to Mary and have a go at her. She went up to Jesus. And this is the kind of level, is it? You know, doesn't it seem unfair to you, was the first point in question to Jesus, that she is not doing anything, referring to her sister. You go and tell her to come and help me. That was the deficit of where she had got to with this most important person that they were catering for. And here's Mary, just sitting down, looking at Jesus. Well, I mean, I then go into this point and saying, imagine if Martha had sat down, what would have then happened to the dinner? You know, would it have all burnt? Would it have all gone crazy? Something inside me says no. Something inside me says they probably would have had an even better dinner. Those two, after they just sat at Jesus' feet and then just gone into the kitchen in this manner of just having received from the Lord, being able to then go and do, empowered to fulfill the duties. But Jesus said, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details." Or in some versions it says over many, many things. There is one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her. Jesus knew the importance of having the food and the wines, everything all doing, but he also understood there was an order, and Mary had found that one thing. And in this time, in these times of what can be heightened stresses, lots of things to worry about, we have to remind ourselves that there is that one thing. That doesn't mean the other things don't get done. That doesn't mean we sit down and decide, well, tomorrow morning, you know, I'm not going to go to work. I'm just going to open my Bible up and see what happens. It isn't about that. And we know that. But it is reaffirming that one thing each time. It's about reminding ourselves what's important in this life, and the empowerment for us to be able to go out in this world all comes from taking that time reminding ourselves of that one thing. God doesn't work in the way that man does. He doesn't think that way. It's not a logical step about what's going to happen to the bread in the oven. As we know throughout the Bible, you know, God sent people into battle with their worshippers at the front. You know, we sent people to go and conquer huge cities and walk around walls for 7 days. Logic isn't there. But you know what? Spirit-led activity is. And that's what we need at this time. Spirit-led activity. We need God works and not good works. God works and not good works. The good works will come from the God works. But what we think is good isn't always the right thing to do. We just home in on Jesus and look to him and allow him to direct and show us. Just ask him. He is interested in every level of detail in each one of our lives. We've got a culture of busyness. Busy, busy, busy. And busyness is success. I'm in that world of sales, corporate sales. And it's heavily linked that the busier your diary is, then the more active you are, and yes, you're this and the other. And you know, I look this week and I thought, yeah, that's me. I'm busy. I had a really few busy days. And before you know it, it's 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, whatever. And you sometimes wonder what you've actually managed to achieve. Can anyone give me a reference of when Jesus was hasty or busy in the Bible? You know, I don't think you can. And to the point where I looked at where we had Mary and Martha again with Lazarus, their brother. And they got told, Jesus got told that Lazarus was dying. And yeah, what's the natural thing? You know, Jesus knows the family, loves the family, knows Lazarus, knows Mary, knows Martha. And yet, the Bible says that he waited for 2 days. He waited for 2 days. Again, no real element of logic in our natural way of thinking. So I challenge us that if we find ourselves in that panicking, that rushing state, that we just take that time. Because what comes out of a rush, what comes out of a haste, isn't always the right thing. Because it won't be what really needs to be done in the manner at which it needs to be done. What's strange is, though, the Bible does say in Hebrews 4:11, one thing about labouring or working, it says labour to enter the rest. Labour to enter the rest. And I believe that's exactly what Mary had to do. I believe that Mary had choices to make, and she had to come past those choices, those natural decisions that would draw her into the kitchen, and she had to choose not to serve, but be served. See, the platform of the start here is that knowing God's love, knowing how much you're loved, knowing how much you're loved enables you to enter that rest. And enabling that rest ignites inside a joy and a peace within you. Isaiah 55 says, "You shall go out with joy and you should be led forth with peace." You should go out with joy and you should be led forth with peace. That's something that I want to be. For sure, in this time that we're in, I want to go out with joy. And I want to be led by peace. Led by peace. We're in a time where people, you know, we were in COVID. People would some say we still are, whatever. But certainly that period of time that when we were in lockdowns and things. And the majority of people saw the end of COVID as the point in which they can achieve their peace. So, I just need to get back to normal. Just need to get back to normal. Just need to get back to normal. And in the natural state, I get that. But that's not what the Bible says. Paul got to a position where he was assured that in whatever state he was in, he could be in this rest. He got to a point in prison where he said, I've had lots and I've had little. You know, and he knows what state to be in, that he became so reliant on the Lord that the state around him didn't change his focus on what he was. I know it's difficult to take. I know that people, if you've got bombs landing on you, like in parts of Ukraine, a message sometimes can be really challenging. I'm respectful to say this, but I have to say what the Bible tells us. Even if bombs were raining down on this village right now, you know, God forbid, and this is the thing, it would be awful. But we would still have a choice, an option to say, Father, you said that I can go out with joy and I can be led forth with peace. A recession that looms upon this nation, challenging. I mean, I've just had the new mortgage come through after 5 years of being in this village. You know, suddenly a big hype in rates. And I think, goodness me, all the other bills that are going up and everything else that's going on, then they start talking about the fact that we could go into recession. And before you know it, you know, you're lumbered, and you're in this point of going, oh, well, we're not even in recession, but I can't wait to come out of recession. It'd be good when we're out of recession. And before you know it, you're lost in it all. You're absolutely lost in it all. Yet, come away from the kitchen and come down and look towards Jesus. Jesus, I start from the top. Nothing can separate me from your love. You love me. You will not fail me. You will never abandon me. Thank you, Father. I'm a tree planted by the rivers of living water that even in the dry season will not fail to yield its fruit. That's who I am. I choose that for me and my family. I choose to be this light before the world that are lost. Recession is something that's happening to the world. I'm in the world, but I am not of the world. My source and my provision in all things is my Lord and my Saviour. And I make a choice and a standing that despite what happens on BBC News in terms of the recession and what it's defined as that and all the elements around me, that no matter what my hands turn to will prosper. If I'm a gardener, if I do insurances, I look after the youth and I've run my own business, whatever you turn your hands to, prosper. You are led and you are directed. And it's not subject to the BBC News. It isn't subject. It can be. It can be, if we choose to go along the same boat as the world, as everybody else. We'll be saved, we'll live these lives, and we'll die, and we'll go in heaven, and everything else. But we have a choice, and it's a continual choice. Choose that one thing. Choose to take the focus away from all of the noise that's around us. Be aware of it. Don't deny it. It's not a denial state of, no, I'm not looking. Oh, you know, it isn't. It's a clear and defined statement of faith. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why? Because when we all became Christians, we had to make that choice of faith. And it's no different today. It is absolutely no different. I want to please God. And He loves me. He wants me to choose by faith to see things that are not visible. He wants me to say things that are contradictory to what the world system says, but aligned with what the Bible says. He wants me to, because his smile comes on his face when I say that whatever my hands turn to works, prospers. I say that to the boys every morning. Every morning. Joseph, whatever your hands touch, pardon? Works, absolutely. Jesse, you're whole, you're healthy and you're... This is the day that the Lord has made and we will rejoice and we will be... It's choices. No matter what the day looks like, and sometimes your children can give you a real picture of, you know, I don't want to go in today because this has happened or something's gone. Do you know what, boys? Come on. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a faith choice. We can be at rest in this storm. The reason is because Jesus says in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. This peace isn't of the world. This peace isn't subject to conditions of the world. This peace is given to you in person from peace himself. The Lord came down. So this morning, I thank the Lord for this peace. We thank you, Lord, that by making the choice to keep our eyes upon Jesus, keep our eyes focused on him. Do not get pulled away or distracted by the things of this world. And we will. We will. So take no condemnation is in Romans 8. But say, Lord, thank you. Just help me each day. Show me each day. And then you'll fall again. You'll find something else to get stressed and worried about. Come back to it. Come back to it. Keep repeating the words that the Lord has put in your heart from these scriptures that are spoken. And you see these change and you will see. And not only will you see, but most importantly, can I be really honest, is that this world will see. That they might know that you are sent. That they, the world, might know that Jesus came and saved you. They will know. How will they know? They will know because the lights. They will know because the faces shine. They will know because in difficult times, when the earth is shaking, there's a firm foundation that we have as Christians to be able to stand and declare who we are and what he has done. I've got more, but I'm probably going to round it off. Preparing this, and I did cut it right down. I'm always conscious of time. My dad, who was here a few weeks ago, he's got a way of being able to talk quite well, quite long. He's so it's one trait I didn't want to carry through. But anyway, look, this week I read a small book called Jesus Calling, and it's a daily read. And this week has just been absolutely full of things to add to this message. It's just unreal. I've been going on to FaceTime with my dad, and he says, oh, have you done your daily reading yet? I say, no, come on, let's do it together. But this one, August the 5th, on Friday, just rounded off something for me. Sit quietly in my presence while I bless you. That's the starting point on a Friday morning for me. Sit quietly in my presence while I bless you. Okay. Make your mind like a pool, a still pool of water, ready to receive whatever thoughts I drop into it. Rest in my sufficiency as you consider the challenges this day presents. Do not wear yourself out by worrying about whether or not you can cope with the pressures. Keep looking to me and communicating with me as we walk through this day together. Take time to rest by the wayside, for I am not in a hurry. This was another area I was thinking, I've been talking about, thinking about a week. A leisurely pace accomplishes more than hurried striving. When you rush, you forget who you are and whose you are. Remember that you are royalty in my kingdom. Folks, this week has its challenges. For each one of us, all lined up. We have a God who is for us, who will never leave us, never forsake us, who will help us, guide us, direct us. Let's just look to Jesus this morning. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your great love. I thank you for each one of us. Thank you, Lord, that we can be what you need us to be to our friends and our families. That we can just draw them in. Draw them in, Lord. They're in your plans, Lord. I pray that each one of them will have that opportunity to come to know you. Whatever stage they are in their lives, Lord, I pray that just be, that we can be what you need us to be in this day. That, Lord, that we don't just bobble along with the rest of the world. We have a firm and solid foundation. Something that never changes, is unmovable. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.